and you are the one that the Lord has ordained this meeting for. I want to hear your better hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
If you are the one the Lord has ordained this season for lifting in your life, shout the loudest hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
I want you to lift your hand wherever you are hearing the sound of my voice. Lift your hand and pray and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am here before you. I ask that you touch me in a special way. In the name of Jesus. Once again, I want to welcome you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are hearing the sound of my voice, I want to plead with you to give us a little of your time, because God has something to do in your life. And I promise you today, something new will happen to your life. As you hear the word of the Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God will touch you and help your life today. This is one time opportunity that God has brought your way to meet you at the point of your need. And I pray today that this will be one day you will need to remember in your life. And so shall it be in the name of Jesus Christ. We're about to hear the word of God, and I want you to bow your heads in a moment and pray and say, Father, I want you to speak to my heart. I want you to address the need of my life. I want you to touch me in a special way. I want you to deliver me. Open your mouth and pray in just a few minutes and say, God, speak to me today. I want to hear your voice. Make your word plain to me. Speak to me in the language that I will understand. Help my life today. Meet me, oh God, at the point of my need. Just go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you. We ask today that, Lord, you will touch our lives in a special way. Speak to us, oh God. We come in your name against every power of darkness. The powers of the end, the waters under the earth, the power that answer by date, by times, by seasons, from the alphabets A to Z, we ask that they surrender their powers and be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. We release the blood of Jesus upon this arena and on this ground, oh God, Lord in heaven. We cover this area with the blood of Jesus. Everyone and every heart, Lord, we cover with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, because you are fully in charge. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise the Lord. This moment, men and brethren, we are going to hear the word of God. And to bring us God's word today is God's servant, missionary Collar. God bless you.
And good morning, everyone. I bring you greetings from the U.S.
I don't want to turn away.
Those who help to support me as a missionary. And I want to bring you God's word from the book of Romans in chapter number 9. I ask that you listen very carefully. I know my language is a bit strange, but if you listen, if you hearken, then you will hear the gospel of God's grace. And you will hear the truth as to how God saves sinners. I want to thank the pastor here for opening up this door, and my sister Vianney for helping to arrange all of these meetings. But the book of Romans, chapter number 9, and I'm reading out of the Holman translation, it says, I speak the truth in Christ, and I want to welcome also my Muslim brothers here. And may the Lord speak to you also. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience is bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. I'm not a falsehood. I am a truth teller, Paul is saying. That I have intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. For I could wish myself accursed, cut off from Christ for the benefit of my brother, my own flesh and blood. Paul says that they are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the temple service, and the promises. The ancestors are theirs, and from them by physical descent came Christ. Who is God over all and praise forever. What the Apostle Paul is saying here firstly is that you and I can have all of the religious knowledge in the world. We can have a Bible. We can have truth preached in our history, but be utterly absent of the knowledge of God. Israel had the real miracles, not the fake ones. The manna came from heaven, and the water flowed out of the rock, and rents. And Moses, he stretched out his staff, and he opened up the Red Sea. But they did not have the gospel, and they turned their back on God, manifested in the flesh. They killed him and murdered him because he was not preaching a kingdom that's of this world. They wanted money, and they wanted bread, and they wanted miracles. But they did not want God's and his salvation. And it's the same way now in the United States. Our great history was strong. And there's a Bible that's in our culture. It's in our hotels. But they took it out. And the gospel has been lost by and large. And it's the same thing here in Nigeria, that there is a superstitious religious reverence without a knowledge of God. And Paul said it broke his heart. And he wished himself accursed, even sent to hell, if it would save his brothers. And me personally, and for you, my brothers, this must be our attitude. I heard a story about a man that was in Nigeria. And he's a Nigerian, and a boat was sinking. It had sunk. And the man saved 14 people from drowning. But then he died trying to save somebody else. And the comments were that he should have known that he was tired and stopped. But the man was tired, I'm sure, after saving 5 people. And then when he got to 10, he must have been exhausted. But something told him, I can go back and get one more. And when he got to number 14, he died trying to save number 15. That man is a hero. People are mocking him because he did not preserve his own life, but Paul says he's willing to burn in hell in order to save his brethren. all my soul, because the people in Nigeria have false prophets, and the people love to have it so. These false prophets would not be rich if they were not preaching exactly what the people wanted to hear. And they have rejected the gospel of God. And Paul said it broke his heart. And it ought to break ours until we spend our whole devotion on the salvation of sinners, because the great God has had mercy on my everlasting soul. I was a sinner. I was unable to help myself. And I didn't even know it. And he came and he saved my everlasting soul. And what truly motivates us to go out with the gospel, to lay our life down, to become missionaries, pastors, or helpers in any way possible, is the gospel of the sovereign grace of God. So let's keep reading. It's from Romans 9, verse number 6. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, even though Israel was perishing. For it's not all who are descended from Israel are the true spiritual children of God. Verse 9, for this is the statement, it's the word of promise. At this time, the Almighty says, I will come and Sarah will have a son. And not only that, but also Rebekah received a promise when she became pregnant by one man, our father Isaac. Listen carefully. For though her sons had not been born yet, this is talking about the saving grace of God. This is our motive for evangelism and missions. This is why we love God. This is the reason that we are saved. For though her sons had not yet been born or done anything good or bad, oh, that the purpose of God, please listen carefully, according to election might stand, that's God's choice, not from works, not from what you and I do, but from the one who calls, she was told, the older shall serve the younger. That's contrary to all of our traditions, but God did it that way just to let us know it is not a survival of the strongest. As it is written, and I'm sure you've heard this verse, so let me explain it, I hope. I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. That's the way that God saved a sinner. It's another meeting after this. I have to go to speak unto young people. And I'm going to ask one question. What does it take for God to save a sinner? And nobody is going to know the answer, I think. Because I'm going to start at the beginning with eternal election. It takes God choosing you and me and making us to be Jacob instead of Esau. That's God's choice and that is God's decision. He owes nobody his salvation, not me or you. We are sinners. We have corrupted our way. We have abandoned him. We've turned our back on him. And we cannot come unto him. It's our sinful nature. That's why we love sin. You offer a man that is a drunk everlasting life and holiness, or more whiskey and women, and he'll choose according to his nature. That's what a sinner does. He will choose religion, but always a false prophet. He will choose the truth only when God draws him in his heart by sovereign grace. When God makes a decision for you and then imposes himself upon you in the gospel and overwhelms you with the truth, that's when men come unto Jesus Christ. It's a decision that's been made by God. That's why the Bible says in verse number 14, 15, 16, what shall we say then? Is there injustice with God? Absolutely not. For he tells Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it does not depend upon him that wills or of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. That sounds like sovereign mercy. It sounds like it depends on God. Oh, my soul. And it's not that God is going to keep anybody from coming to him. He says, come. But because no man can come to him from our own corrupt nature, he draws unto himself whom he pleases. That's the absolute justice of God. It's not my willpower. It's not my strength. It's not I'm any better or I'm any smarter or I was born in the U.S. It's none of that. The reason I've obtained mercy and you get mercy is from God. He looked upon you and me. He loved us with an everlasting love in Christ. So in spite of our sin and our rebellion and our refusal to believe his gospel, he said, I will have mercy upon him. That's what opens our eyes and opens our heart and our understanding, and he gives us a new heart to love him. That's the work of God. He picks people. He chooses us. And he saves us. Hallelujah. So it does not depend upon human will or effort. It's on God who shows mercy. And for the scripture tells Pharaoh, I have raised you up for this reason, so that I may display my power in you, and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. He has vessels of mercy, and he has vessels of wrath. So then, he shows mercy. What does verse number 18 say? Who does he show mercy to?
Whoever he wants.
Who does he harden?
Whoever he wants.
God. Oh, hallelujah. What is God? How worthy of worship is God. Oh, but he can do with us as he pleases and he shows mercy? Oh, my soul. That's why we love him. He shows mercy to those he wants. He hardens those he wants. Verse 19, and you will say to me, therefore, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? Excellent question. Let God answer it. But who are you, a mere man, to talk back unto God? Will what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Or hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump of sinful humanity to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? Verse 22, and what are you going to do? If God, desiring to display his wrath and to make his power known, not hiding it, not being afraid of it, not being ashamed of it in any way, because it's just and holy in every way, he endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction by God. He said, you sin, you pay. You reject my son, I'll meet you in the judgment. That's God. Oh, I hate the puny God that's preached in this day. I despise any God that's not God. If he's not almighty in power, if he's not absolutely sovereign, get rid of him. He's fake. Because our president is always talking about fake news. But a fake God is the worst thing me and you can have. Some little teeny, teeny God that is a beggar at the heart of man and totally dependent upon man, who's helpless and can't even do anything. That's not a God that's worth worship. He's not in the Bible. He's a devil masquerading as God. He's a pretender to the throne. That's not the gospel. And when Mary Slessor came here, she preached the real God. The big God. That's what drove her to leave her home as a single white woman to come tell you about Jesus Christ. It wasn't some tiny God. Please join with me in hating every lie, every false gospel. Even if it doesn't save anybody, it defames his name. Let nobody defame his name. What if God, desiring to display his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And what if he did this? What are you going to do? To make known the riches of his glory, how big and great God is, on the objects of mercy that he prepared beforehand for glory. He's the master potter. We are the clay. Even us is the ones he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. He's talking about God as he deals with every person in this world. As he also says in Hosea, I will... It's in the Old Testament. It's the original gospel. It's what God was always saying. I will call not my people. I'll change their name and their destinies established by me, even before they were born, and I will make it happen. I will cause it to prosper. No man shall stop my hand. And she who is unloved and under the power of Satan, I will call her my beloved. And it will be in the place as to where they were told, you are not my people. There they will be called the sons of the living God. How does he know the future? He rules it. He's not asking some man's opinion. He's not looking through a crystal ball. He's governing the world from the beginning. Nothing has ever happened except what he has ordained. Even the fall of Adam was in his master plan, that Jesus Christ might get glory. He always had his people. He always had put his love on you. He had destined you from everlasting. That's why he came and got you. His great love wouldn't let you die in your sin. Praise his holy name. But Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, verse 27. That's my last point, is on this remnant. That though in number of Israel's sons is like the sand of the sea, many, only a remnant, just a portion, is as many as the stars that are in the heaven, but of all the sand, it's a remnant that shall be saved. It's a portion of humanity, it's his people, black, white, Jew, and Gentile, rich and poor, healthy and sick. People who never make money and people who make a lot of it. There's a group of them that's his. And only the remnant will be saved. Verse 28. For the Lord will execute his sentence. He will cut short his work in righteousness. Will decisively act upon the earth, verse 29, and And just as Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of hosts had not left us offspring, a seed, a chosen people, we here in Africa right now on this hill, we in Nigeria as a whole, we in the USA and everywhere on planet Earth would have all been made like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. You can hate a homosexual if you want to, but you'd be in the same hell if not for God, if he didn't choose to save you. That's my attitude. And brothers and sisters, that's the reason I'm here in Africa. Because God has a remnant of people he's saving. And I don't know if it's here, I believe it is. I can see the fruits. But even if he doesn't have anybody here, his name is so great, it's to be proclaimed. The old missionary was going over unto China, and they said, "Brother, are you going to China to convert the Chinese?" And he said, "Oh, no, I'm going to China to bring glory unto God." I pray he converts these Chinese, but let his fame be broadcast. I'm telling you, this gospel is invincible. Everywhere I go, I have the hope that the Almighty God will come down in sovereign mercy and reach out his hand and touch somebody and save you from the pit. And I do not care how bad the situation is, and it's bad. They lie to you all day and night. All they want is you and your money. But God's gospel is so powerful, it interrupts our program. And he has mercy on whom he will. Even the rich and powerful, sister, that's our hope too. He can do it. He's unstoppable. He has no rival. And the devil is not a rival God. He's a little puny thing in the hands of the master who has him on a chain. He rules him absolutely. That's why Balaam could not curse God's people. It's impossible. I go to preach unto the witches, but I have no fear because they have no power. Let them curse. But if God is blessed, I'm blessed. Who they gonna pray to curse me? Who gonna help them? Oh, we don't have to hate people in their sin, but we got to preach this great God. And since he can't be stopped, it is not upon us to quit. It isn't upon us to join hands with the devil just because it's too hard. No. It's we swimming upstream, and we're going to plant this flag of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to watch the kingdom of Satan crumble. Oh, I don't know how many he has here, but he's going to get everyone. Sister, we can't lose, and we can't stop. We keep going. Brothers and sisters, this is sovereign mercy. It's God having mercy upon whom he pleases. All because, my friend, of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put our sin upon him. And then he speaks to us by the gospel. And you know what he says? It's my last verse. It's in Romans 10, verse number 13. It says this: "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter how far away you are from God. It doesn't matter your hypocrisy or your sinfulness or your powerlessness to save yourself. I'll be preaching on that this evening at the hotel. I ask you to come. Ask you to come. The name of the hotel is... it's the Kadef Hotel. The pastor can help with that. But whoever calls upon the name of the Son of God, you shall be saved. That's just part of the mystery. He picks whom he pleases, but all who call upon him get eternal life and salvation. And it's not in loaves and fish. It's in the miracle of a brand new life. It's to live your life like Paul lived his life. I'm willing to go to hell just to save other people. That's the heart that's born in us by the gospel. That's why he was not covetous. He obtained mercy, Pastor. And it changed it all. Hallelujah. Amen.
Can you put your hands together for the Lord? That's wonderful. My brother, the missionary, all the way from the United States of America. Can you put your hands together and thank God for God bringing somebody from far to talk to you? You know why God did this? It's because you are very important to him. You may look at your life and look at yourself as nobody. For God to send somebody all the way